Welcome to The Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. We're here to bring you ideas, concepts, and guests which are meant to help you lead a more positively minded life. And now your host, Armand DeMille.
Hi there, everyone. This is Armand. Thank you, Elizabeth. Just something a little different for the change of year and the end of year. Holidays, you know, holidays and seasonal times, tough times for people. But we all get through it, and we get through it well, and we could always change our spirit a little. Like, you know, here's one of the ways you can change your spirit. You take whatever is and look at it a little differently. For example, you take the ordinary see? So, that which would seem like, it's this ordinary stuff, becomes extraordinary if you look at it a little differently. And that's what we're trying to do. We try to find some different aspect of it, something that'll teach us, something that'll give us a lesson. From way back when, a man named Robert Fulghum wrote the first of those messages, those things that people are now sending around, famous quotes, inspirations, things like that. Well, I'm going to go right back to the beginning, the man who started it all with one of his cute phrases that people took and put up on their walls. And I'm sure some of you are going to remember it, and some of you have never heard that, so I think it's time. This comes from Robert Fulghum. It was all I ever wanted to know I learned in kindergarten. I was looking through my archives the other day, and I saw this, and I've passed this by hundreds of times, and I realized it was worth reading again, so I'm going to read it to you. Most of what I need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sandbox at nursery school. There are things I learned. Share everything was one of the things I learned. Play fair. Don't hit people. These were some of the rules in the sandbox that we were taught very, very early on, that I've applied to life, and I wish other people would. Put things back where you found them. That was another rule of the kindergarten sandbox. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. All right, let's just think about all of these messages. About the ethic of it, about how it makes your spirit feel. Share everything. Let's start with the beginning. How do you feel about sharing? How do you feel about sharing everything? Your goodwill, your smile, your day, your food. Everybody wants to share their wisdom, but that's not what people want. People don't want your smarts when you're teaching them from a distance. That's not sharing, that's telling. That's dominating. Sharing is a smile. Play fair. Do you play fair? Do I play fair? It's a question I always ask. If I have an argument with someone, I have too many weapons. I know the human mind inside out. I can't play fair in an argument. I'm not fair. I'm not fair. You never want to argue with me. It's silly. Because I know every inroad in the human mind. And it's like I'm a bully. I'm a psychological bully in my own way. So I try to keep my awareness of my strength so that when I am trying to play fair, I'm trying to be fair with people, I reduce that part of my force. Do you? If you have wiles, you know what wiles are, don't you? Don't you have any wiles? They talk about feminine wiles and masculine wiles, and wiles are important. I mean, everybody should have a few wiles. But if you have wiles like feminine wiles, which means being flirtatious, do you play fair when you use them? Is flirtation fair? Is seduction fair? If you get somebody who's really needy and you get your way by seducing them, is that fair? Well, for me, it's not. For me, I'm not judging it, but I just don't want to do that. And I find myself doing that much more often than I want to. So playing fair becomes a very fascinating, interesting concept. Don't hit people. Don't hit people is a big, this again, you know, it's sign on the wall, but it's not there in every kindergarten. Don't hit people. You know, you can whack people with words. You can say something mean. There's an expression in England, in English, that I learned in the university that was a way of describing habits. This very same expression, when used in Latin American countries or Guyana, in Latin American countries, has a very different meaning. The expression is pigs like dirt. Pigs like dirt doesn't mean people are pigs. It means that people have habits and that they're going to return to their habits no matter what you do. If you try to take them out of the dirt, they're going to wind up going back to the dirt. Okay. But it's not calling people pigs, but you say that to a Spanish person, pigs like dirt, and they think you're calling them a pig. Don't hit people. Don't insult people. Don't whack people. Put things back where you found them. That is such a psychological concept, a way to treat people. Clean up your own mess. If you go somewhere and you make a mess out of things, see what you could do to repair it. Put it back to the way you found it. Number one, I like the expression, always leave a place cleaner than it was before you got there. This I learned from a Buddhist. So let's say you go over to somebody's house, and they're welcoming you to their house. Leave it a little cleaner. Clean up something. Make it as if your presence did not add to the dirt, but it removed from whatever the leftover is. Clean a dish. I've got a couple of good friends. I have one good friend who, whenever she comes to my apartment at a party or something like that, you can be sure she's going to get that place straightened out. She does it. This is what she does wherever she goes. Clean up your own mess, number one. Number two, go beyond that. Clean up somebody else's mess. Walking down the street, you see something on the street. Pick it up. Put it away if you can. These are not rules. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what, if you did, you would feel better in the course of a day. These are like social rules that might be very applicable today. Robert Fulghum, back from Things I Learned in Kindergarten. By the way, if you want these, I think I have them posted in my website. If not, just get in touch with me by email through the website, thepositivemind.com, and I will send you this list. Don't take things that aren't yours. Isn't that a simple rule for children? Don't take things that aren't yours. No, you shouldn't take something that's not yours. That's simple enough. Parents say it all the time. Well, what about as adults? Don't take things that aren't yours as an adult. Don't take people that aren't yours. Consider that. Consider when you meet somebody who's got a relationship with somebody else. And you have the power of seduction, or you have your wiles. I like that, your wiles. I don't mean this, by the way, as, you know, a command. I'm saying, what if we did it this way? What if we didn't ever take anything that's not ours? Next rule from Kindergarten by Robert Fulghum. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. A woman comes to me the other day and she told me about an incident in her office. And she talked about her boss, and she said her boss treated her badly. He scolded her in front of a bunch of other people. She got furious with him because she's a very image-concerned person. How does she look is very important. And she was very proud. She told me how she confronted her boss, and she said to her boss, she told her boss that he was wrong in what he did, and he said, I'm sorry. I apologize. And she was so proud of herself. And he apologized. He said, I'm sorry. And I saw what this meant to her. I couldn't imagine an apology to be as big as this, but it made her shine. I make mistakes. Do you make mistakes? You ever think of apologizing? Not the kind of apology that people do all the time to manipulate other people. You know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You know, the alcoholic addiction. I'm sorry I messed up, I'm sorry I messed up, I'm sorry I'm late. Not those sorries. Sorry when you hurt someone. Sorry when you say something that's untoward. Oh, there goes another word. Untoward. U-N-T-O-W-A-R-D. Got to save that for the Ides. The Ides. You know what the Ides of March is? Ides of March. What does the Ides of March mean, the 15th of March? Well, the Ides of March. Why do you need to know this stuff? I have it. I do have it here, what the Ides are all about. Because I was curious, why do you call it the Ides of March? It comes from the Latin word idus, that means the middle of the month. It's used for the 15th day of the month of March, May, July, and October. That's all. There's an Ides of May, there's an Ides of July, and an Ides of October, which are on the 15th. So if you have a birthday on March 15th, May 15th, July 15th, or October 15th, you have a birthday on the Ides of those months. But then it's the 13th day of the other months. The 13th. So if you're born on the 13th of months other than March, May, July, and October, you're born on the Ides. The Ides is usually a festive day, and it's usually celebrated by some kind of parade. You should have a parade on your birthday. Things I Wanted to Know I Learned in Kindergarten by Robert Fulghum. Wash your hands before you eat. I like that. Not just because of the germs. It means prepare. Cleanse yourself before you sit with people, especially since you're about to ingest something, even if you're doing it alone. Take a ritual of cleansing beforehand. Flush. Flush is another big rule of kindergarten. You know, I don't have to say more than that, friends. Flush. Live a balanced life. Now, learn some and think some. Draw some and paint some, and sing and dance and play and work every day some. That's the balanced life. Play and work every day. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. That means be cautious. Keep your eyes looking, but not terrified. But hold hands and stick together. Keep your community. Keep your community. Keep your awareness of other people. A special shout out today to, quite a few people listening. You know, if you're listening to this, you're probably not doing the major thing, but this one is special to Gabriel Karen, the sculptor. He wrote to me recently and connected with me recently. Just a shout out to Gabriel, if you're listening to this. Hello to you, my friend. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the plastic cup? The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why. But we're all like that. This is a rule of kindergarten. This is what we learn. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even a little seed in a plastic cup, they all die, and so do we. And dying is part of living. Remember the book about Dick and Jane and the first word you ever learn in your book of Dick and Jane, which I don't know if the book of Dick and Jane exists anymore in this cyber world. But the biggest word of all was look, L-O-O-K, look. So think of what a better world it would be. The whole world had take a nap every day. You know what it would be like, or if we had a basic policy in our nation and other nations to always put things back where we found them and we cleaned up after our own mess. And it's still true, no matter how old you are, that when you go out into the world, it's best to hold hands and stick together. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, bringing you Robert Fulghum. On a day that many people use as a celebration day, and other people use as a day, it's painful to some people. Sometimes, you know, if you're Jewish, or if you feel left out of the holiday, it has one certain pain to it through childhood. For other people, it's a day you just hope passes fast. Sometimes it reminds you of what's missing in your life. Well, I'm here with you because I love you all. Hey there, friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Having been a little under the weather, as we all have, huh? Well, help us with our recovery. Go to WBAI.org and help us by joining the Buddy System. The more people we have on a recurrent basis giving money to the station, the less we'll have to have fund drives. Help us cut down on those, and we'll do what we can for you. WBAI.org. Buddy. Make a difference. That's Topsy Chapman singing Holiday Blues. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a supermarket, a department store, going up an escalator. I passed the second floor. I was shocked. It was decked out in Christmas decorations, trees, Christmas music, tinsel. All the stuff that signals that Christmas is around the corner. Want to hear a crazy thought I had when I saw all that Christmas stuff? I said to myself, oh, darn, summer's not coming back. I've been tolerating the damp days, waiting for summer to come back. Once I saw the Christmas trees, I knew summer was over. And I felt sad. Not very, very sad. Just a little sad. Whenever I feel sad, I ask myself a question I learned a long time ago to help me understand my feelings of sadness when they hit. Whenever I feel sad, I ask myself, what did I lose? You see, sadness is always the reflection of something lost. Whenever you feel sad, ask yourself, what did I lose? In this case, I lost a comforting idea. I like the summer. I like the feeling of vacation I get in the summer. Even though I may be working, I like the energy of summer. I like the other seasons too, mind you, but summer, kind of my favorite. When summer passes, I regret it. I love seeing things grow. Plants, animals, people. So I felt sad on this elevator between the second and third floor. I let myself feel it as I do with my feelings. I flash back to some of my summer adventures. I recaptured the beauty of the sound of birds, the warm caress of the heat. I remember the sweet smell of flowers and trees. And I bid adieu to summer right there on the escalator of this department store. I wonder how many people feel sad about summer's passing. I wonder if this season, the holiday season, was going to be like the holiday seasons of the past. For me, holiday season is my time of my most intense work. See, I run a mental health center. This is the time when people begin to show their frailties. It's a time of very confusing feelings and emotions. Nobody asked about the massacre in Connecticut, what it had to do with the holidays. How about Columbine? How about holidays related to the season? Is there a tendency at that time for people to become their most desperate? I believe there is. I believe there should be a cautionary note, right starting as the seasons happen, that there's more potential violence, despair. I mean, we know that. We in the mental health business, we all know that. This is the time when people show their frailties. It's a time of very confusing feelings and emotions. Don't think you're crazy if you feel ungrateful at Thanksgiving, ungiving at Christmas, or depressed during a New Year's Eve party. That's what many people around feel during holiday time. The pressure to hide the negative feelings during that time is intense, and it makes it worse. Most people do not follow the happy Hallmark image of holidays, but they think they should. Everybody around seems happy. Everybody seems connected. Everybody has family, and you may not feel that connection. Depression and suicide rates are at their highest at end-of-year holiday season. The image that everyone is happy and you're the only one that's not is a part of the reason. Add to that the shortness of the light day and the tendency to stay indoors because of weather inclemencies, and you have a perfect setup for what we call holiday blues. This is Armand DeBille with you with The Positive Mind on this seasonally important day. Here at WBAI 99.5 FM, we would normally bring you, I would be taking your calls today, but our lines are still not working. Our telephone lines are still a challenge, and by next year, I am sure we'll be able to include you in all of our programs. There's a lot of pressure to buy gifts, prepare for visits, prepare for visiting families, friends, which we might feel that's strained. It's a delicate emotional time, but it's also a great opportunity to improve yourself. See, in nature, winter is a season for assimilating all the growth from the year before, preparing for the year to come, and it's also a time of rest. People can use this time in the same way. Use winter and the holiday season as a time of reflection. Here's the perfect time to write your thoughts in a journal or explore yourself, but let me give you one big hint. Keep the self-critical out. Evaluate. Care for. Nurture. But don't criticize yourself when you write. Use the holiday and the winter season as a time of reflection. During the rest of the year, we're so focused on outside activities that we forget to appreciate the inside ones, like feelings, reflective thoughts, memories. Some people become so dependent on the weather providing the escape that they have to fly south to avoid the darkness. What's the fear? Contacting the self? The self goes with you wherever you go. So winter, and especially holiday season, is the perfect time for self-repair. If we can reframe it to make it different, we can make each holiday a day to which we look forward rather than a day that we dread, no matter whose holiday it is. Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, Christmas, Valentine's Day, who cares? Somebody picked a day. Let's celebrate it our own way. Reflect. Imagine if we took Thanksgiving itself as a time when you make a list of all things in life for which you're grateful. Imagine, even though we're past it, a Thanksgiving dinner where whoever was there said their individual lists aloud as a kind of a pre-meal prayer. This will not only connect you to others, connect you to the positive aspects of yourself. A list of all that you're grateful for. Like you used to say prayers, you know? Dear God, thank you for my mother and father, and thank you for the other, and thank you for... Well, you know, but a list. Imagine starting a dinner with a request of your friends that goes something like this. Before we start eating, I'd like to tell you something about three things in my life for which I am very grateful. Would we all do the same? And please, let's not make the three things the person who's sitting at the table, because that would just cut us down to two things, because that's what you're supposed to say. Then tell the three things. Don't just name them. Tell a little about them. And listen to theirs. Now, when you listen to someone else's, try to fit this thing of beauty with the personality. Understand it. It's very interesting if you think about people as being people who are either kinesthetic, they like touch, visual, they like to see, or whether you see people who are driven by their image, you hear what they have to say and you could hear it. Is it about survival? What is it? And you take it in. And you appreciate it. So now, as I mentioned this, if you think about your family or friends wouldn't tolerate this mushiness, wouldn't appreciate it, and perhaps you've got some work to do with your family and friends, maybe that's not where you want to be spending your time. Maybe now's not the time, but if you don't feel safe sharing your joys with the folks you share your holidays, you need to make some adjustments. Or you're destined to indigestion. So here we are on this Christmas Day, this Goyish holiday. Me, Italian-French born, grew up Catholic. I see Christmas differently. The first person on my Christmas list is me. Imagine if the first person on your Christmas list is you. Not your friends, not your mate, not your family, but you. You must give you the best gift you could afford. Everyone else comes next, even your children. You must prepare to celebrate with you at the highest priority in a way that you would like best. Be selfish. And you won't be hoping that someone else gets you a right gift or resenting them when they don't. Now, what about that gift getting? Somebody gives you a gift, you don't like it. You think about, you know, I've told the story about Charlotte, I'm sure, but I'm going to tell it again. Charlotte always bought me these knickknacks, these little statues that she collected that I really didn't like very much. They're kind of inane porcelain things. And every year she would get me a new one, and every year I would take it and pass it on. I saw no beauty in them whatsoever, hobble kind of things. They didn't touch me. They were a little too cold, but they touched her. And then one year I looked at this beautiful face of this person who I knew for so many years, and I saw the pride as she gave me this gift. And I realized she was giving me a part of her heart. And somehow I imbued the gift with Charlotte's spirit. And I loved it. And it sits on my shelf still. Even though Charlotte is not long gone, but she's in Israel living there. Haven't seen her for many, many years. But I see her every day. There's a child in every one of us that has been waiting to become someone's highest priority. Imagine that you could become that someone. Imagine that you could be your own highest priority. Give to yourself. You'll be amazed how light the season can become. It's Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind on this unique, unusual day. You know, the holiday music has always been a little interesting to me because of the variations and the different variations that so many musicians try. Here is one version of Winter Wonderland that just knocks me out. And I thought it would be wonderful to share it with you, my friends. I know you get bored by most of it, and most of you just don't even want to be near it. But this one's special, and I love bringing you special music. I imagine myself drumming. All Stars. Beginning Winter Wonderland, wonderful version. Let's talk about chimpanzees for a minute. Our species is especially cooperative. We routinely help other people, relatives, strangers alike, even when there's no immediate reward for us. The concern that humans have for each other is part of the foundation of this complex society, from neighborhoods to nations. Scientists have long wondered how long ago our so-called pre-social behavior evolved. So now in this new paper published this week in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, a team of scientists at Emory University addressed the question with a study on chimpanzees, one of our closest living relatives. Contrary to some earlier laboratory tests, the Emory researchers concluded that chimpanzees are indeed willing to do favors for others. Our pro-social behavior may therefore date back at least several million years. The new results suggest chimpanzees may help others proactively simply because they understand they need help. So they understood this study because the scientific literature kind of says chimpanzees didn't do this, and we humans are the socialized ones. We're the ones who cooperate. So some lab experiments on chimpanzees failed to show a willingness to help. But they started sharing food. They helped each other in fights. It's a large mismatch between what was going on in the field and in the lab. It seemed to us, said this Dr. Horner, that chimps did not really understand what was going on. The studies that evolved were the following. When it came to food, sharing was not at the cost of your own eating. So if you are hungry and you got a banana and you're a chimpanzee, you eat your banana. You may share it with your babies to your own cost, but you wouldn't share it socially. It was only around food that they found the socialization process was kind of limited. If you had a sandwich, would you share your sandwich? What if you were really hungry? Would you share a part of your sandwich? What if you were hungry? Would you ask, but is this other person more hungry than I am? Would you then give up your sandwich? Some of you do. Some of you are so used to self-sacrifice that you give up everything always and take nothing for yourself. The chimpanzees taught us that they take care of their basic needs, and when they do around food, everything else was okay. They shared shelter, they shared work, they shared taking care of each other, they negotiated with each other. There was a highly socialized thing. The trouble was they were always studying the food aspect. But what about you, my friends? What are you sharing today? Take this very day. What are you sharing? What part of you can share something today? So I ask to all of you who are listening to this, wherever you are, would you please share something in this world with someone who might not expect you to share with them? One easy way to do it, oh, I hate to use this as a commercial, but it's true, is to go on the website to WBAI.org and go make a donation to the station. Nothing. Just say this is because the positive mind told me to do it. And so, you know, I love music so much. I have such a good time with music. Oh, look who's here. Hey, Jonna. just walked into the studio to say hello. There you are. Hey, John.
Hello, Armand. Hello.
How nice to see you. What a nice surprise.
Thank you. I love this music that you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, Armand, I would just love to express my personal gratitude to the listeners of WBAI and everyone who participates to make this station the wonderful place that it is. And please, I'd like everyone to know that we will be here for you throughout, you know, this time of year and the new year coming.
What do you, you've been such a part of this for so long, Jana. You know, and I'm grateful to you. I mean, I thank you. You've been such a support. You know, now I see you finishing your schooling and entering the field as a professional, and I think what a wonderful gift that is to people.
Well, it's been a gift for me to learn here at the DeMille Center. It's been a great learning experience for me.
It's a nice connection, you know, the connection that you have. It's a funny thing. Whenever we have a drive to raise money for the station, it's Jana's voice that pulls up the numbers. Everybody responds to you for some reason. I guess they see your honesty and your sincerity.
Well, I do my, you know, I try to do my part, you know, because I really do want to see the station succeed.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I think if we were to think about the wonders of the universe. I was talking to somebody who worked down at Bellevue Hospital during the middle of the storm. So here he is at the bottom. He's a surgeon, and he's working in this condition that's horrific because they actually have to turn patients away because they have people coming in and they have the generators fail. And there they are in probably the worst battle conditions that could have possibly existed, was being a surgeon the evening of the storm. Because there you are in this emergency department with ambulances upon ambulances and people dragging themselves in and no lights and nothing to work with. I mean, they were doing their medicine by flashlight. This, in the oldest hospital in America, that and NYU then failed as well. So these two hospitals collapse on our storm. And of course, we can say, well, we could have been better prepared. Well, nobody ever, you know, sent us a Sandy before. How prepared could you be? Who's to blame? But after watching the condition of him and his co-workers as they left the hospital, it was little wonder to me that their post-traumatic stress disorder really applies to a lot of the people who worked so diligently. So we hear a lot about the people and what they did in 9/11. But we have not given much attention to the heroes of Sandy. And there were so many. The spirit of giving went so far out on that day that it was beyond the external damage. You know, I mean, 9/11, we saw the enemy come in and we were all scared and we were ready to fight and scared and running. Sandy was like, God, nature, did it. Now you have to recover. How many heroes do you know? I want to start collecting stories about the people who just did the right thing. I don't even know if calling them heroes. Everybody's a hero to me. But the people who did the right thing. So I would like to collect stories. And if people would send me these stories, I will collect them and I will put them together and I will get the people from Bellevue and we will do a program just on this, because we went through something that was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. There have been dramatic, dramatic moments in my life. You know, the happiest moment of my life, I'm going to have to give my age away. The end of World War II, believe it or not, I was alive. As a little kid, I was in a movie theater. And in the movie theater, I was watching cartoons with my family. And I remember we were watching cartoons, and then the screen went blank. And somebody stood on stage and said, "The war is over." Where's the cartoons? What are you talking about? The war is over. And I went out onto the street, and the entire street exploded with people kissing each other, hugging each other, loving each other. And I, as a little kid, looked at this confusion as everybody picked me up and kissed me. And I saw love in a universal way that I have never seen since. Sometimes we gather that force around an energy. This is Armand DeMille with John Limoniadis. We are John Valerio. Which name do you use?
Valerio.
Valerio. Talking about some of those things that have such essence to it. Essence. Did you see any heroes?
I met a couple who drove up from Minnesota. They drove here just to help out. They were out in Staten Island. They were, they went to the same spot every day. But they came here all the way. I mean, people came from all over the country to come to New York and to New Jersey. And that's amazing. That was really, really inspiring.
The stories have not yet been told. I guess they'll unfold in the new year as we get past our fiscal cliff. Hey, listen, my friends, we will be back with you on New Year's Day. We will not be here tomorrow, because that's our usual prolonged every other Wednesday, once a month, BAI foolishness. But we'll be back with you. I'll see you next year. Thanks, John, and thanks for all your help.
Thank you, Armand.